11 women were the masterminds behind a UK pyramid scheme that conned over 10,000 women out of a total of £21 million. Stay tuned to hear how some participants actually ended up walking away with £23,000 of their own. I'm Courtney Green.
I'm Katie Reeves.
And I'm Ezra Coopersmith, and this is Swindled and Psyched, the podcast where we explore some of the most successful scammers and hustlers in history, talk about why they worked, how they're still working, and what you can do to make sure you don't fall for them.
This podcast is brought to you by Better Business Bureau, Great West, and Pacific. The BBB has helped consumers find trustworthy businesses for over 100 years. With resources like Scam Tracker and online business records, finding trust in the marketplace is easier than ever. Visit BBB.org for more information. The opinions expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of Better Business Bureau, Great West, and Pacific.
All right, so get rich quick schemes. That's basically what a pyramid scheme is. But I think one thing people don't realize when they start in on a pyramid scheme, whether they're at the top of the pyramid or the bottom of the pyramid, is that a lot of money gets lost in the middle of the pyramid. And that's what we're going to talk about today, where that money goes. And a story that benefited 11 women who were the masterminds behind one of these in the UK. So, Katie, will you really briefly talk about what a pyramid scheme is, or like the definition of a pyramid scheme?
So I found this definition from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, just to give everyone a base point of what we're talking about for a frame of reference. So they define a pyramid scheme is typically presented as a reputable company that makes itself look and sound like a successful multi-level marketing program. The typical pyramid scheme will require money up front from the participant or employee. The employee is then promised good money in return for signing other people up for the scheme.
Yeah, so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ezra, this, or when it comes to multi-level marketing and pyramid schemes, it's really sometimes hard to disseminate.
It can. Like, there's a difference, but you're right. Sometimes in reality, they really fall on a spectrum, and it can be tricky to tell the difference between certain multi-level marketing opportunities and certain pyramid schemes. So I can talk about that later in this episode. But you're right. It's not always black and white. It often has more to do actually with how they actually operate than the actual structures of the businesses or schemes, if we're talking about a pyramid scheme.
And before we jump in, is it even possible for a multi-level marketing company, a legitimate company, to turn pyramid scheme? Is that something that we've ever seen?
That's a good question. I don't know. But I mean, based on what separates them, that seems entirely plausible. I mean, I don't want to throw all multi-level marketing businesses under the bus without having evidence that it's happened. But right. I mean, just in my mind, again, we'll talk about kind of the differences later, but it's certainly plausible to me.
All right. Yeah, that's been a lingering question since I started even researching this. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I had to pick one of about a million multi-level / pyramid scheme stories out there, and the only reason I chose this one is because of how quick it was and how many people were actually involved in profiting off of this. So 11 women aged 34 to 69 became the first in UK history to be prosecuted under the Consumer Protection from Unfair Trading Act in 2015. Nine women were found guilty. One woman was acquitted of promoting the scheme, while two juries failed to reach a verdict for another woman on the same charge. Between May of 2008 and April of 2009, these women were the masterminds behind a pyramid scheme that conned over 10,000 women out of a total of 21 million pounds. So that's nearly 27 million American dollars. Their scheme was called Key to Fortune and reached from Bristol to the West Country in Wales, which later was known as the Give and Take scam. So I am already blown away at this. So this is the first little bit that I read about. It's basically the cliff notes right there. But I'm about to get into what the board looked like, this pyramid scheme board, as I mean, we learned not that long ago, probably this time last year, of the Loom, which I know Ezra will talk about. But this board, I actually had to, and I'll put it in our or on our Instagram page at Swindled and Psyched, but I was so confused at how this scheme worked. Because one, it is a pyramid that they operated on, but it was 15 spaces with 8 people at the bottom. That doesn't really add up. So I ended up having to make it and make a diagram. And it was just, I was reading it over and over and over again, and I had to physically write it down and make the pyramid for it to make sense in my mind.
Honestly, so, though, oh, sorry. I mean, because I was also just, again, looking into how they're defining a pyramid scheme, not to be, hey, everybody, let me read yet another definition. but I did, since you brought that up, just kind of how complicated that, and you had to make a diagram and you're keep, how does this work? And one of the characteristics of, hey, could this be a red flag, is when it's that complicated. And, you know, there's also, you know, from the same article I was reading from, the federal government offers the following signs that the company you are looking into might be a pyramid scheme. No genuine product or service, promises of high returns in a short time, easy money, no demonstrated revenue from retail sales, buy-in required, complex commission structure, can't figure it out, and an emphasis on recruiting.
Well, and that's, yes. I mean, again, we can talk about some of the details later, but
yes.
And this is something I've even encountered, like, in my job, is that when you try to really understand what makes a pyramid scheme, a lot of the definitions don't actually describe what it is. They'll say, well, a pyramid scheme is different than a legitimate business because it's illegal, and it's illegal because it's a form of fraud. And that doesn't really explain anything, but Katie, I think you're right that part of why it's so hard to define is that it's almost the absence of something legitimate as opposed to the presence of
exactly.
something that's a scheme. And so the sign is that, like, hey, wait a minute, like, somebody's getting rich, but, like, what does this business do? How does anyone get money? And
exactly.
then it turns out, exactly, it gets money because people have to buy in because there are no real customers and no real product. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, Ezra, that distinction where we may be, we just tend to think we're looking for something sketchy. We're looking for something sketchy. And it's sketchy if I find it. However, it can be equally sketchy just when you look at what's not there. What are we missing? Where are the details? Hang on. So you're at the center of this and I invest in here. Wait, how do I get my investment back, or what's the bonus structure, or
totally
I don't know. Anyway, I'll stop talking.
No, you're good.
So Courtney, tell us about this scheme in the UK.
So the 15 space pyramid, again, go to Swindled and Psyched on Instagram to see the diagram that I think I got right just from reading this 100 times. It does have little arrows and it does have who's paying who. I think I got it right. Just also leave comments on there if you're listening to this and looking at that pyramid and being like, this girl totally messed up. But so it was, the scheme was operated on these 15 space pyramids. Each needed to be filled with a participant who paid £3,000, and that person needed to introduce two friends who would pay the same amount. Once the chart was filled, the eight people at the bottom would pay their £3,000 to the person at the top, called the bride. Payouts were collected at quote-unquote champagne parties, where the brides would ask a series of party questions before being handed the £24,000. So the questions were really silly and obvious, like, what is the name of the tower in Paris? Or what type of animal is a Great Dane? So for each party, a $1,000 fee was deducted from the payout. So £600 would be shared between charities, and I'm air quoting right now, charities, and the rest was used to pay out, and I'm air quoting again, committee costs. So here's the weird thing, though. £19 million out of the £21 million that was a part of this scam was lost on the chart. So I don't know where it went. It doesn't say in any of my research where it went. It was lost on the chart. Right. The pyramids.
It went to someone or a group of people, but I'm curious.
Right. So it said the pyramids never fully filled, but the money would go to the committees. I don't know who the committees were. I think it might have been the fraudsters, but later it said that committee members behind the scheme ended up pocketing around £92,000. That doesn't equal 11 times £92,000 does not equal 19 million. So I'm not sure where the extra money went, but £2 million pounds were paid out to the bride. So some people did luck out and leave with £23,000 from these parties. But they were also a 10%. There was a 10% chance you were going to walk away with that. And 90% of the rest of the victims lost between £3,000 and £15,000. So here's the thing. If I'm reading this correctly, it's $3,000 to buy in and you're one of the eight people at the bottom. Then it's $3,000 at the next tier. Then it's $3,000 at the next tier. So you're in $9,000 to maybe get $24,000 or
$23,000. Oh, I mean, I was just going to say what you were talking about, Courtney. So basically it's Hey, Courtney, you should join this amazing thing I'm doing. Mm-hmm. What was it? Key to Fortune or something?
Yeah, or the give and take scam.
The give and take. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not presenting it to you as a scam. This is an opportunity. So
right.
So they would say, come to these parties or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. If you're at the bottom eight, you would invest $3,000. And the thing is, so are they basically telling people when they first enter, okay, so you just have to invest $3,000 the first time, and then you'll move up a tier. And then mm-hmm. once you've, you know, moved up enough tiers, then you'll be a bride and you'll get all this money. So even though you've invested so much, it's really, you're going to get your money back, of course, because you'll have a bride party.
Right.
Is that?
Yes.
Did you guys, this may have to be for another pod. There was a gifting table scam. I want to say on the East Coast somewhere, not that long ago.
Oh, and is this like the Secret Sister thing?
Well, the Secret Sister was a gifting scam. I think it happened all over the country.
It still happens.
We got reports about those.
Report about it every year.
Now, of course, I'm blanking because it's been a while since I watched a documentary on it. And it started with this family, but it sounds just like that, where you have people buy in at the bottom with mm-hmm. the promise of one day you'll get to host one of these parties. And they were called gifting parties. And that's when you would give whoever a bunch of money.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So the Secret Sister is basically an online version of that.
Right.
And we see them kind of pop up either around the holidays or also they tend to come like basically when people have money to spare. So when stimulus checks have come out this past year or around the time people are getting tax refunds. But I mean, yeah, they're basically online versions of what you just described where you're basically told, hey, if you give a little bit, you'll receive a ton from the new people coming in. And it doesn't take a genius to realize that at a certain point you're going to run out of new people. I mean, with some of these, like, the numbers work out so that each person is inviting 5 or 10 people. And it doesn't even take that many rounds, hypothetically, to run out of people on the earth who could participate.
So it basically relies on people repeatedly buying in. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
So you would run out unless you convince people who have already gotten to the top tier to continue investing in it. And I then mean, it's just an exchange of money, not really anybody winning or making this money. It's very strange.
Yeah, there's not any money made by sales of something.
Right.
There's not retail sales that are bringing in a profit. It's just people reinvesting.
Right. And Miles Bennett, a prosecutor on this case, actually shared how these parties were being held. They were being held at one of the organizers' hotels. So one of the organizers owned, one of the 11 owned a hotel, was setting up these champagne parties at her hotel. Or in the homes of the brides. So footage from one of the parties showed that organizer shouting, "We are gambling in our own homes, and that's what makes it legal." Miles also noted that this wasn't a kitchen hobby. It was a scheme that sucked in a lot of people and which worked on the promise of them receiving riches way beyond their initial investment. It is, and he said, "It is clear, blinded by the possibility of riches and quick bucks, people were quite prepared to ignore the bleeding obvious pitfalls of his pyramid scheme." And isn't that like just so freaking true? I mean, Katie, you did all the research on this, and like, there's got to be some sort of psychology behind, like, you know, it's a pyramid scheme, you know, you're buying into something that is not legitimate, but there's promises of getting something bigger than the investment without having to do anything. And it feels like a get rich quick thing.
But not the thing is, though, here is what I will say. Multi-level marketing on its face, though, unless you really maybe didn't have that great of an experience with one already, or maybe you've heard about it, they present very well. So, you know, it's not surprising that so many people get sucked in very quickly, especially when you can use tools like social media. There's that familiarity. Oh, my friend's doing it and she's showing success over the last couple of months. I want to be a part of that. So, and there are, you know, there are, I won't name the name of it, but, you know, there is a company that has been accused of being a multi-level marketing scheme. And
there are several.
There are several. And people technically are selling items. However, it's not that the company gives you those items to sell. You have to buy them. So as soon as you just want to become one of those representatives, you have to spend about $4,000 just to get your inventory. And then you have to start selling it back. That's where the problems tend to come in. Is you know, trying to get a return on your investment. But the company already has your $4,000.
Yeah, they've already gained from you joining.
Yep.
And then
just from you joining. And one thing, you will only gain if you sell everything.
Correct. And some MLMs actually have a buyback program where if you don't sell something, they'll buy it back for 60% of what you paid for it. But that's also, I feel like, kind of a scam.
Well,
it is,
because,
although,
well,
that's one of the,
it doesn't sound good.
Ironically, one of the green flags of,
really?
Well, okay, is now a good time, I guess, to jump into, all right,
because
let's just...
You can go Ezra first, and I can always loop around later with a few pieces for the psychology stuff.
All right, let's dive in.
Dive in, Ezra. Well,
and this is one of those things.
I wish you could see Katie.
I'm diving in.
We need a
She's
little,
making
like,
hand gestures.
Backtrack.
Of,
like, let's
of
dive
diving
in.
off of a diving board right now. Ow. Very. You're giving me vibes of a synchronized swimmer.
I wish.
Mm. Oh, you would be so good at that. Anyway, Ezra, talk to us. Tell us what the red flags, green flags, yellow flags are.
So, well, before I even do that, I think it's just important to break down what is a multi-level marketing business versus what is a pyramid scheme? How do they differ? How can there be a gray area? Because I think when we use the word pyramid scheme, people think of like the 70s and people suits and briefcases and like bars where you can smoke indoors and stuff like that.
Polyester suits.
Exactly. Shag carpet walls. But a multi-level marketing is extremely, extremely accessible. I think most people who are on social media have probably either been approached by somebody they know who is in multi-level marketing or offered to join one. And that's actually often a question that we get at BBB is when – or if I introduce myself and I say, yeah, I work in consumer protection, somebody will say, oh, this girl I went to high school with is caught up in a pyramid scheme. You should see it. So I want to put the brakes on for a bit and say, well, first, there's definitely, and we don't have to go into all the reasons why this is, there's absolutely, I think, a gendered element where people associate, young women with multi-level marketing businesses and will often talk about them as if they're suckers and they're being duped. And I actually want to put the brakes on and say that's not actually always the case at all. I know several people actually who have participated in legitimate multi-level marketing companies. And if you do it right, if you know kind of what your bandwidth is for how much you can sell, you can actually make a reasonable side gig income or make it your full time. So I just want to say it's certainly not the case that all multi-level marketing companies are pyramid schemes. That being said, depending on the multi-level marketing company, you can start edging towards pyramid scheme territory. And that's when things get really tricky. So here's how they work. A pyramid scheme, like we talked about, there's no real product. The way that the business, and I'm using air quotes, makes money is that the people involved basically buy in, everything funnels to the top, people on the bottom assume that eventually they're going to get their payday, but they don't, and that's why it's a scam. Multi-level marketing companies have a same kind of hierarchical structure, but if they're legit, the main point actually is to sell some sort of a product that has some sort of value to consumers. And again, you know, it's a little bit different than just like a store, because the people who participate, like the salespeople, are technically independent contractors, which means they do have to buy their inventory from the brand before they sell it. But if it's legitimate, the purpose is actually to sell a product and to make money by selling the product. Here's kind of the grain of similarity that causes all of the gray area is that with multi-level marketing companies, in addition to the fact that you're making money by selling a product, there is that hierarchical structure, and you do get basically paid either for signing people up to be below you, or it's called downline, or make a commission off of not just your own sales, but their sales. So there is this huge incentive to recruit more people, and the more people that are kind of brought in below you, I'm using air quotes, it enrich you a little bit more. That being said, the difference is in a lot of ways a difference of degree as opposed to a difference of structure. So if you're participating in what you think is a legitimate multi-level marketing company, but it turns out, you know, hang on, we're all talking about this product, but nobody's actually selling any product. The only way anyone's right. actually making money is by signing people up below them. And all of the emphasis, none of it is on how to sell the product. It's just on how to make money by signing up people below you. And nobody's done any market research on the product and whether it's valuable or how you can sell more of it, because nobody actually cares, because really everyone's just in it to make money from people below you. That's when it starts getting into pyramid scheme territory, or is just a straight up pyramid scheme. And with that, there are red flags that people who are getting into these businesses can go to. So Courtney mentioned buying back unused product. That's a big one. And yes, even with that, there's some wiggle room as to whether they'll buy it back at full price. But the key is, when you think about it, do they want that product to be sold? So if it's a pyramid scheme, they want you as a seller to buy as much, you know, skin cream as possible, and just have it sit in your garage, because they've made their money. And buying it back, there's no point, because it's not a real business. Nobody's interested in actually selling that inventory. They're just interested in you spending money to pump money into the scheme. So companies that offer to buy back unsold inventory, if you can't have bought more than you can sell, or you want to get out, that's a green flag, because it means that they're actually trying to sell a product. Other ones, I mean, I talked about emphasis on recruitment versus sales. Another one is if you have to make a large investment up front. So say that you're getting involved in a legitimate multi-level marketing company, you know, and you say, hey, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know how much time I can put into this. It might just be a side thing. So I just want to buy a little bit of product and see how much I sell. Well, if it's a real business and they're actually concerned with selling product and with profit margins, there's a good chance they'd say, yeah, sure. You know, if you're only going to turn a small profit, we're not losing money. Whereas if it's a pyramid scheme, they might say, ooh, no, you're actually required to, you know, immediately spend $1,000 to get in. And that's because nobody's concerned with like the profit margin you're going to turn with that product. They just want you to, again, inject money that's going to flow.
Buy
to
more
the
of it.
Exactly. So, you know, people nowadays tend to label multi-level marketing companies as just pyramid schemes. And right. they can be, but they're not.
Not all. Hashtag no, not all multi-level marketing.
Exactly.
You know, Ezra, this is going to also similar findings in terms of what I was able to pull up from different studies that, you know, there was, I found this thesis presentation by someone named Alexander McKenzie. So shout out Alexander McKenzie from University of Canterbury. I am referencing your thesis presentation. It was wonderful. So it's called Almost Certain Loss, The Psychology of Pyramid Schemes. And this was in 2005. So not a super long time ago. But we also know that multi-level marketing, pyramid schemes, those structures of a scam or quote-unquote business has evolved, I think, to be able, you know, to work well on social media so that it can happen rapidly, where people are filling their circles or looms or whatever that was within minutes. So now in this study, McKenzie was particularly interested in trying to figure out, are there any human characteristics, any when it comes to, you know, maybe thrill seeking or intelligence or gender, something along those lines that could not necessarily be a predictor, but are there any characteristics that may make someone more likely to invest in a pyramid scheme. And so in the studies that were done, he provided people different forms of investment. You know, you could put your money in a bank, or you could invest it in a pyramid scheme, or you could put it in a safe or the stock market. So those were the options. And what I found really interesting as I was reading through it, I didn't read the whole thing because, you know, it's about 140 pages. But when I was reading through the results from the studies, and McKenzie didn't find any correlation between characteristics and what made it more likely to be invested in a pyramid scheme, even though half of the participants did, there wasn't anything statistically linking them. And now for the other ones, investing in a safe, in a stock market, or in a bank, there were characteristics that were either positively or negatively correlated with those types of, you know, investing your money. So it was so interesting that and he did about six different studies, and each one, when I was reading through it, got to the end, you know, because you have your results section, typing out all that stuff, and then there'd just be a sentence that's basically saying no correlation with pyramid schemes. So I thought that was really interesting. And that is the nature of research. Sometimes it's, oh, whoops, this isn't at all what I thought I was going to get.
Well, do you think that's because it's human nature to want to get rich quick, and that's essentially what pyramid schemes are?
I think, you know, that's why, you know, when we're looking at these very specific characteristics and very specific ways of measuring intelligence, and I mean, it is everything is best planned out as possible, again, because this is a thesis. So then I started to like, okay, maybe it's not so much about these specific things, but kind of pulling it back a little bit. And exactly, Courtney, looking at human nature, and also what would be appealing about a multi-level marketing form, or, I mean, I don't want to equate them as the same thing, because as Ezra said, they're not, but there are overlaps. And there are certain qualities, I mean, a lot of qualities, I would say, that makes us very appealing. On the one hand, there is this get rich quick. And if you're someone who invests early and can get to the top of the pyramid faster, then you're a great example of how quickly it works. And so that can help get additional buy-in. The other piece of it is, you know, I was looking at an article. It wasn't a study, but more of an article piece about pyramid schemes and the American dream is what it's called. It's from Penn State. And what we're looking at right now for so many families, so parents with children, people who are single in the workforce, single parents. I mean, there's all these groups of people that, you know, a very large population with very few resources, because we continue to see a wage gap increase year after year after year after year. So people are looking for a way to not have to work three different jobs to make ends meet. They are looking for something that can be done at home on their own schedule. They have that flexibility to be with their kids, or flexibility to pursue something else on the side. They're their own boss. So all of these things that a lot of companies are offering, because they know that is what people are looking for, that's built into the multi-level marketing structure. So they can use all those same talking points. And, you know, I've known people who have participated in what would classify as possibly a multi-level marketing scheme and had success. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's something she's still doing, because I think after a while, even people who are really successful may start to run out a little bit. But looking off of the research, that's just what it seems to be really playing on, is it just really appeals to us, because it, in a sense, it's not always too good to be true, because we're lucky enough to work for a company with that type of flexibility. Mm-hmm. So it's it kind of makes me sad a little bit, to be honest, because I think, yes, there are people who are wanting to get rich quick, which there's nothing wrong with that. And if anyone tries to say so, have a seat if you look at how our economy runs. Yeah. Yeah. Takes basically nothing to throw, you know, throw a chain in that one. Anyway, again, these opinions are the opinions of my own. and not that of Better Business Bureau. It's just, you know, I get it. I get why people want to go for multi-level marketing schemes. If I was in a situation where I was faced with, you know, something like this, or having to work a job I hated or two jobs just to make ends meet, yeah, I definitely would look into it.
Yeah. And Ezra, do we see a lot of these in Scam Tracker?
So I only really have anecdotal information on that because it's just not a statistic that we track, how many pyramid schemes we get. But yeah, I mean, I'd say probably, if I'm guessing, maybe like quarterly, we see a new one and BBB will put out some sort of a warning. But, you know, again, going to that like 1970s image that we have, that isn't, at least with the ones I've seen, that isn't really how they play out. They tend to be like the Blessing Loom, like the Secret Sister, kind of these things that go on online and are almost, I don't want to say a game, but they're fun. You tag your friends, you at least perceive it as an opportunity to make some money during the holidays. But also, you know, going back to what Katie was saying, I totally agree that I think just looking at the big picture of, you know, the S words, the schemes that we see, you know, for a lot of them, it's just, it's obvious why people go for them. And I think that they'll be the first ones to tell you, like, yeah, I wanted money. Like, I need,
right.
I have rent and children and, you know, I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a good living.
And so often it's, at least my layperson's perspective from talking to these people is that there's no hidden characteristic that leads people to. It's just, it's sometimes hard to get by. And if you have a potential money making opportunity, you're going to jump on it. And sometimes it's not legit.
If there is anybody who did become involved in what we would classify as a pyramid scheme or a multi-level marketing scheme, and you lost money, and hopefully no one's giving you a super hard time, because the thing is that it's like Ezra was saying, there is no characteristic. It's not that, oh, well, you invested in this because clearly you're just not smart enough to know the difference. Wrong. Intelligence, even in that study, was not correlated with, I mean, again, the way they were measuring intelligence was not correlated to whether or not someone became involved. So I really encourage anybody who may be in that situation or maybe thinking about getting involved in a multi-level marketing, continue to do your due diligence. Again, there's no perfect 100% zero risk. But again, please utilize the resources that we have at BBB. Do your research, learn more about multi-level marketing, certain things you should look out for, prepare yourself for, because we're not saying that you shouldn't participate ever, but it's important to really understand as much as you can about how the structure works so you can avoid or at least decrease the chances you find yourself in a situation where you have extra inventory, you've lost money, and there's no buyback program.
I think it's also important to note, Ezra, amen. I think it's also important to note that research really is key here, because while there's that gray area of is this a MLM or is it a pyramid scheme, one is illegal and one is not. So you definitely don't want to get caught in any illegal activity, especially when you're hurting for money. Because nobody wants to spend the little money they have on law, basically. So And on that note, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to hear more stories about the biggest scams in history, how they worked, how they're still working, and how to stay safe from them. Until next time.